Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. My name is Brian Powers. I'm here with my host, Diane Moxley. This is NJRR Live, coming at you from New Jersey Revolution Radio Stories. New Jersey Revolution Radio Studios North. One day I'll get through my entire intro without flubbing it up. My partner, Diane Moxley, is here. How are you, Diane? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And we have to tell our viewers we weren't supposed to do this show this evening.
But.
What happened?
You are a very poor negotiator. Diane, if you were here a couple weeks ago, and honestly, I'm really glad that you came through, Diane. We didn't raise the $500 that Diane said we did. We didn't even really come that close, but you know what? We just missed doing the show. I don't think we could be away from this show for 2 weeks. So we did raise a little bit of money, and I want to thank everybody that contributed.
Yes, thank you.
I teased Diane mercilessly on Facebook for 2 weeks, telling everybody I was going to force her to work. So that was the goal, was to make you miserable to come in and to work.
Yeah, and you forced me to work anyway, but this is not really
if we didn't raise the money, you're not supposed to come in.
yeah, but we can tell our viewers and listeners that one of the reasons we're here is because we have a guest that we are so honored on New Year's Day to have with us, Margaret Kimberly.
Absolutely. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all? Sorry that you can't see. I can see you all, though, and I guess as long as I can be heard, it'll work out.
Yes.
That is great. Before I toss it over for the main interview, I just, you know, as part of, you know, you're going to hear a lot about Margaret's history, and I had a great opportunity because of Diane's organizing. We spent a long weekend in a house together in Salem, Massachusetts for the Green Party in New Jersey. It was a really honor. I mean, it is just so awesome. I woke up in the morning to get my coffee and my cereals, and there's Margaret Kimberly writing a book at the living room table.
Yeah.
It was just an honor and an experience I'll have with me my whole life. Thank you so much. And I say this every time I get to introduce somebody from Black Agenda Report, and I want to make sure I say it before I turn it over here. It is the best reporting in the country. I know it's called Black Agenda Report. I don't care who listens to it. It's for everybody. It's truth.
Absolutely.
It's truth, and it's more truth. I listen to it as much as I can, Margaret, and I know that you and your comrades that started Black Agenda Report are extraordinarily proud of your accomplishments in your work, and I want you to know that it's appreciated, it's loved, and just keep up the great work. Thank you so much for being on the show. Diane, Margaret Kimberly, let's hear it.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time out on New Year's Day evening.
Well, thank you. It's fun. I always say yes. Whenever I can, I say yes. I love talking to you guys. It's great way to start off the year, being with my folks and sharing our ideas and observations about what's going on in the country and the world.
Yeah, thank you. And I know most of our viewers and listeners know Margaret Kimberly, but for the very, very, very few who are, you know, just kind of coming over to the left and left politics, Margaret Kimberly is the editor and senior columnist with Black Agenda Report. And I am so excited to hear about the new book that's being released on February 4th. And it is Prejudential.
Yes,
did I say that correctly?
The publishers no need to apologize. The publishers made up the word.
Okay.
I guess it'll be in the Oxford English Dictionary now after the book is published. But the book is Prejudential. Prejudential.
Okay.
Prejudential, Black America and the Presidents, published by Steerforth Press, available on February 4th. You can pre-order steerforthpress.com. You can pre-order the book now.
Okay, so that's the address people should go to pre-order now. I'm going to pre-order my book. I am so excited. Can you repeat that address again?
Sure, Steerforth, Steerforth, steerforthpress.com.
Okay.
And you can pre-order the book, the ebook, and there will also be an audiobook. So there are many different ways to get the information.
Okay. So everyone, order now, because we can get you on some of those bestseller lists before it even comes out, right?
Yes.
So go for it, everyone. And as Brian said, we have so much good work has been coming out since, for how long, the Black Agenda Report?
We just celebrated our 13th anniversary a few months ago. And thanks for the shout out. BlackAgendaReport.com is, we're on holiday hiatus. You can hear interviews this week, but we'll be back with our columns and articles on January 8th. We publish every Wednesday. And we provide news and analysis from a Black left perspective. And we mean left, not Democratic Party. We mean left.
Yeah,
and,
real left.
Thank you, yes. And so we have a bar book forum. We interview authors. We have interviewed Glenn Ford, our founder, interviews people. I have a regular column. We talk about domestic issues, international issues, and I have learned a lot from my colleagues over the years about history, about events, and I'm sure other people will as well. So I cannot recommend Black Agenda Report enough.
Okay, excellent. And so what Brian was saying, we were so honored to have you as one of our house guests at the, it was the Green Party annual national meeting in Salem. Yes. So were you working on this book then?
I was probably doing some finishing touches, like checking footnotes and stuff. By that time I was done.
Okay.
But it's been a effort for a couple of years. I tend to underestimate how much time it takes for me to do certain things, but so writing a book, it's not that long, it's a little less than 200 pages.
Okay.
And it's essays on every president, the 45 chapters about the presidency and the impact that the institution and those men, all men of course, have had on Black people, starting with George Washington, going all the way up through Trump. And my goal was to put in historic perspective what we go through now as a numerical minority struggling to have our rights, the legal rights and human rights that every American is supposed to have in a country that is hostile to us. And starting with the first presidents who, there were 12 presidents who were actual slaveholders, and the rest in those early years, almost all upheld and protected that institution. And we just to tell your listeners one tidbit of information, the fact that the founders built a new capital city, there was no Washington, D.C. until the early 1800s. Why would you build a new city? George Washington was inaugurated in New York, then the capital moved to Philadelphia, and then they decided to build a capital on swampland. And the purpose was to have a capital that was firmly within the bounds of the plantation economy. And so we had this new city created for the express purpose of making sure that slavery would be protected. So that is just one historical footnote, something that is not taught in schools. It's so funny. Most of what I write about in the book, none of us learned in school. These are things you have to learn on your own.
Yeah.
Even if you go to college, you probably haven't learned most of it, because I found out that historians and biographers tell lies on behalf of these people. And generally, people study someone because they admire them and respect them and love them. So they don't tell you that Abraham Lincoln didn't care if slavery continued. And that his biggest concern was getting Black people out of the country until about a week before he was assassinated. He wanted colonization, that is to say, sending Black people somewhere else. So these are some of the things that I learned, and some of this information I had myself, some of it I learned while writing the book. But it explains why here we are now, and it's a sad repeat where Black people cling to a political party. A long time it was the Republicans. It was the party of Lincoln. And then the party switched after the 1960s. And So we have the Democrats who we cling to, mm-hmm. and are at this point, we've diminished all our demands. It's rather sad. Mm-hmm. And all we ask is that the Democrats get into office and keep the Republicans out.
Yep.
But lately, they haven't even been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this hope that we will get some protection prevents us from even thinking independently, from asserting our own rights, asserting our own right to self-determination. And Hillary Clinton, who should have defeated Donald Trump, is, mm-hmm. instead of being angry with her, instead of asking the Democratic Party to explain themselves, we elevate this person who brought in Trump, who Black people see as an existential threat.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that fact, we still cling to the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I am green, as you just said. We met at the Green Party annual meeting. And mm-hmm. I think people who consider themselves left, and of course, there are all sorts of, there's a range on that spectrum. But I think I can best sum up the conundrum that people who consider themselves progressive face, and that is we have to build a real left party.
Yeah.
Have a real people's party, a real workers' party, a real peace party, and that's not the Democrats.
Yeah. And a real party to undo our history of racism. I don't think the Democrats are doing it, because I know I read the little description of your book, mm-hmm. and you're not just talking about the overt racists that, as you said, 12 were slave owners, slaveholders. Mm-hmm. But we even have presidents who we might have thought of were going to work on undoing racism. And so you're going to touch on that, the history, because you're 45 chapters, 45 presidents.
Yes.
So, you know, I remember during, and I'm embarrassed to say, I voted for Bill Clinton.
I did too, and I'm also embarrassed, but go ahead.
I've evolved. But I remember Bill Clinton was referred to as the first Black president.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, that was
awful. And then in hindsight, it's just amazing what a con job our presidents can do, and especially one that is given the title of the first Black American president.
Yeah, it
president.
Was, a couple of things happened. Before Clinton was elected, there were three straight landslide victories that Democrats lost, and lost by huge margins. And I recall being a dedicated Democrat at the time, being overjoyed that Bill Clinton won. And mm-hmm. making the argument with others that this was the best we could do, this is the best mm-hmm. we're going to get, we mm-hmm. have to be happy we had him. Mm-hmm. So when he was attacked by the right wing, people just embraced him all the more.
Mm.
And this idea that, and the late Toni Morrison, who coined this phrase about him being the first Black president, I think it was that he was he came from a humble background, working class family.
Mm-hmm.
He was hated by the people that we hated.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to, I think he studied Black people, and he mm-hmm. was comfortable around Black people just in his physical presence. And so people felt easy with him, and And of course, being the, you know, representative of the supposedly not racist party, mm-hmm. people put on blinders and fool themselves. And I did it too. So I, mm-hmm. you know, I can't criticize anybody who did that at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was easy for him to be this beloved figure. Of course, when you look at what he did, he's the welfare reform cast millions of Americans into poverty.
Mm-hmm.
There was a right, a federal right to public assistance that started back in the days of FDR in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
and he got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this literally made millions of people poorer than they already were. So that is an example of the sort of things that Democrats do when they get into office that Republicans can't get away with.
Yeah,
He's the one who got the trade bills passed that Bush Sr. couldn't get passed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what yet when we let these Democrats, when we let them into office and just give up all our rights, give up what we want, being so happy just to see them, it's mm-hmm. disastrous. And we have to stop doing that. And that is a classic lesson in what the left should not do.
So you have 45 presidents. You've given them mm-hmm. each a chapter.
Yes.
And I know this is going to be really hard to select one. But if you were to pick a president who was the worst in regards to upholding white supremacy, who would that mm-hmm. be?
The one that comes to mind first is Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
He was the genocide president. He was the one who carried out the Indian removal from the Southeast,
mm-hmm.
clear that territory for white settlement, for the plantation economy, which expanded slavery into those states.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one who comes to mind first. In the last century, I would say Woodrow Wilson was pretty bad. He was a segregationist.
Mm-hmm.
He segregated the federal government, segregated the city of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have people who, you know, get more credit than they deserve, like FDR. The mm-hmm. Democrats were the party of the South.
Mm-hmm.
And that was FDR's excuse for not passing anti-lynching laws, for example. He's like, well, you know, I would if I could, but those Southerners won't let me do it. So he did things that were obviously good for the whole country, but that connection with the Democratic Party at that time caused us to give up our rights. But I think the most important thing to remember is we've always made the greatest strides in this country when the people make demands mm-hmm. and when there's mass action. Mm-hmm. When any president is quote unquote good, it's because the people force him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the other lesson from this book.
So yeah, you could feel so hopeless in these, in the current climate. So I guess we're saying, because, you know, I hate to say it, but I think we have to prepare for Trump in 2020.
I think so too. I do not have confidence yeah. in the Democrats defeating him.
Yeah.
First of all, he does a lot of things that they approve of. So for this impeachment farce, they gave mm-hmm. him everything he wanted first. They approved yeah. the military budget. They approved the, you know, liberals were snickering about the Space Force. Well, they gave it to him.
Yeah.
They gave him the wall. I'm blanking on what else they, other
yeah.
things, trade
yeah.
bill, everything. They
yeah.
gave him everything they wanted.
Yeah.
But then they go through the smoke and mirrors of this impeachment. They really, both parties are ruled by corporate interests, by wealthy people. They both do their bidding. There are some differences in the margins. You could say Democrats, yes, they do have better judicial nominees. That's correct. I can't argue with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But,
I'll give them that. Yep.
but that's not enough. That's not what and none of them are for peace. So those of us for whom this is an important issue, we have nobody to vote for in either of those parties.
Yeah. No anti-imperialist is nope. running in the Democratic primary right now.
No, none.
No.
And mm-hmm. Tulsi Gabbard isn't. She says she's against regime change wars, but she talked about the events in Iraq. Yesterday, an angry crowd attacked the U.S. embassy in Iraq because the U.S. military killed Iraqi soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump lies and says that was an Iranian militia. No, it wasn't. It was Iraqi soldiers. But in her mm-hmm. tweets, she refers to this fictitious Iranian militia.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to beat up on her particularly, but just to point out that even when a Democrat is supposed to be anti-imperialist, they usually aren't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So we have to get ready for Trump
yeah.
in 2020. But what yeah. you were saying to give us a little bit of hope, no matter what, we're getting one of the corporate-controlled duopoly candidates in. It's most likely going to be Trump. So you were saying, you know, the people need to make demands. So regardless, you know, whether it be Joe Biden or Trump, Warren, even Bernie.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. You know, Bernie Sanders is the most left. Mm-hmm. On foreign policy, he's still imperialist. Mm-hmm. But the Democratic Party establishment does not want him. And I believe even if he does well in the primaries, they're going to find a way to steal the nomination from him.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I think that's an opportunity for those of us on the left to build our party. Regardless of what he does, I think the bigger question is what his supporters will do. And hopefully they will turn their backs on the Democratic Party, because we can't get anywhere as long as we have this sham left party, which is in fact anything but. But I think in their zeal to stop Bernie, who I think has the best chance of actually beating Trump.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They are going to get Trump reelected. I think it's entirely possible that Trump can be reelected.
Yeah.
But that's our opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to be Biden. So we have to get prepared to build a real left unity movement. We have some, you know, in New Jersey, we've got some wonderful Bernie supporters. You know, they're working hard, but, you know, we'll be here to build alternatives because, you know, they're going to do whatever it takes. And this time we're probably not going to have a WikiLeaked email.
No, there won't be anything. Yeah. You know, and the Democrats, they, it's terrible what they've done to the country since, in order to avoid blame for, I think the Democratic Party is completely to blame for Trump being in office.
Absolutely.
But they have whipped up hatred against Russia. Mm-hmm. They have whipped up hatred against Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton is still blaming Bernie Sanders, who dropped out long before November. She lost this on her own. That's what the Democrats have done. It's really very, it's horrible. The propaganda that they have, that they keep inflicting on the public, to misinform people, to confuse people, all in the name of letting themselves off the hook for the endless debacles. When, you know, when Obama was president, the Democrats lost 1,000 seats across the country in Congress and in state houses.
Yeah.
And it was the day of reckoning, actually. It was the presidency was the last thing they had, and they screwed up and lost that too. Yeah. So they have a lot to answer for, but people on the left need to, and I think it's entirely doable. Mm-hmm. To in a few years' time to really build the Green Party and mm-hmm. make it a viable electoral force. We do live in a system that's hostile to third parties, but my response is always, well, let's make the Green Party one of the two and get rid of the fake Democrats once and for all.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Margaret, we do have to break for commercial. And we do have a segment coming up where we're going to be talking about a recap of activism in 2019 and then goals for 2020. Would you like to stay on and join the discussion?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
And I have to ask Margaret about the Green Party too. So
Okay, cool.
Open. But before we get
questions.
To that,
and
Tom
well.
Violet is here with
we'll
us. We were hiding him. Sneak attack Tom.
All ears.
Tom Bierman. But first, I want to talk to you about a couple of things going on at New Jersey Revolution Radio. And the first thing is Weed, Women, and Wellness happening January 26th at the Cherry Hill Women's Center. This is happening like way bigger than we thought it would. We booked
Excellent.
Time, but we're actually, I'm getting messages from my comrade, our creative director here, Heather Warburton, saying, I think we might've gotten a small place. So listen, it's going to be awesome. The cannabis industry, just like everything else under capitalism, is heavily dominated by men. Women are having a hard time, just like every place else. Mm-hmm. And so Heather said, you know what? This is a place where we can talk to patients. We can talk to women. We can empower people. I will be there. I will not talk during the event. I'm there to run wires and shut my mouth. So it's a safe space for women. And I'm just excited that this is happening. I personally have seen this scene and yeah, it's not friendly to women. And so I'm really grateful to be a part of this and to support my female comrades and allies in this struggle. And it's gonna be just fun. They've got a taco truck. They've got a massage table, chair, so you can get a neck massage. And you can learn not just about the benefits of cannabis and CBD and all that, but, you know, how women can break into the industry and how they can empower each other through this network. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really proud of being a part of it. And Heather Warburton, again, our creative director, this is her brainchild. So thanks a lot. January 26th, Cherry Hill Women's Center. Come on down. This and all our other events are on our Facebook page at New Jersey Revolution Radio as well. Our show sponsor today on the sponsorship table is the Coffee House on Amboy Avenue in Edison, New Jersey. And of course, the book, Not Trivial, How a Degree in Liberal Arts Can Fulfill Your Dreams by our friend Lori Endicott Thomas, another author friend of a show. So that's our commercials. Please help our supporters out. And if you go buy something from them, mention New Jersey Revolution Radio, because that way they'll know that their sponsorship is working and making a difference.
Yeah,
we're going to get right back into it with Margaret Kimberly and Tom Violet joining our panel discussion. We're going to recap 2019 and get into 2020. Margaret, before we jump in, I did have one question about the Green Party, and it's just one quick question, because I think we have a long way to go with the Green Party. I really do. You know, I'm a loyal Green. I'm a registered Green. I don't plan on going anywhere. Dip in and out of the party and help where I can. I'm technically still on the executive board here in New Jersey as the elections chair, even though I've been desperately trying to get rid of it for a year now. I'm going to start making public announcements. And I'll tell you this is really true. On the Green Party, how often have I said that my reign of terror needs to be brought to an end? For about a year now, I still can't get replaced. But I support the Green Party. I love it. Margaret, what's the one big thing that we need to do to kind of, I mean, is there something, it does feel to me like something's still missing with the Green Party that we can't get it to that next level. That's just how I feel. What's your sense of where the party is at? And what do you put as like a priority in getting to that next level and making, you know, bigger differences?
I think we need to be active in local issues that really matter to people. What's really impacting people's lives in our various communities? Is it, excuse me, it could be any number of things: housing, gentrification, education. It could be anything. excuse me. And I think we need to find those things that people are most concerned with, and to be active on those issues. And have them, when people think of the Green Party, if they say their issue is police brutality, or it's mass incarceration, or it's the quality of the schools, or it's people being displaced from their homes, whatever it is that matters, to use the party to organize people so they see us as doing something, and not to be armchair radicals, but to be people who actually are affecting change that that impacts people's lives in a very real way. When those issues are seen as Green Party issues, and that, of course, depending on where you're talking about in a particular state or across the country, those will be different things. I think that will make all the difference for us. And then people need to see Greens winning for office, and they, you know, so people don't think of us as the spoilers or the, you know, the Russian assets or the Russian asset spoilers or, you know, whatever it is that's said about us. And that's not their only conception of Green, of the Green Party, but the people who helped improve their housing conditions, or the people who shut down the plant that was polluting a community, or whatever.
Thanks.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. Oh, and first we can also
introduce Tom.
So we have New Jersey's own Tom Violet. And he's an organizer with the Green Party in Monmouth County. And
JR, a live streamer.
Yes, and JR, a live streamer.
Although he got a job now. This is what happens to all our live streamers.
I had
start
a job
off that- hot.
I had a job then.
Did you?
Yeah.
You weren't at it very much.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it was.
That's why you have a new job.
But this was a good job. I mean, I'm building affordable apartments in New Jersey, which we desperately need. Even though this isn't an ideal program, it is at least putting people in nice apartments that can afford them where they don't exist. So I'm happy for that. But I work longer hours to make that happen. But okay, I'm going to ease back into it.
Okay. But it's more fulfilling work right now than what you were doing. You feel you're making a difference.
That's what it's all about.
But, I mean, talk about 2019. I mean, I'm looking at two people, even going back to 2016, but in particular with the peace movement and how eventually I met Margaret, Diane and Madeline Hoffman were going to a conference in Baltimore in February. And it was one of those things. I just piqued my interest and things went from there. Right?
Yay!
I
mean, you can see Margaret.
For a while, but, hey, hi, Margaret.
Excellent.
You know, and then kind of got
full. Oh, you might have to get rid of the other one.
I muted you.
Oh,
Margaret,
cool. We're good. It's all
full
good.
Into the peace movement. And we really brought that, I think, in some meaningful ways to New Jersey between forming a peace congress initially in D.C. that I was one of the organizers with and Diane was involved with. But then bringing that to New Jersey. And we actually had one in New Jersey. And people who weren't just specifically peace activists, but were in many of the realms. But as we know, it all ties together.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to think about how we can all make our movements one movement against what's happening. So I was excited about that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Some things with Medicare for All, which also mixes with that. And I was doing some work with the our revolution people in Monmouth on that issue because we were of the same mind of that issue that it has to be an unfiltered, unadulterated bill. It can't be the crap that all these other Democratic primary candidates are throwing out there, which are just crap. And so that was another thing. And I think we have made strides with the Green Party. I totally agree with what you said, Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been our modus operandi, and the way we approach things is really the issues and localize as much as possible. For me personally, I guess the thing I would have liked to see more is more people coming out, but I guess that's the challenge. But I think we're going to see, because of what's happening politically, that those people who are still going to the Democratic things and still have their hopes in the Democratic Party are going to finally say, all right, there's got to be an alternate and let's put some effort into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really come out and participate in the type of things we're doing to build a real left party.
Mm-hmm.
It really opens up the door if they nominate Biden.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
What a disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus Christ. We can't do better.
Feedback. But he's the one they want.
Yeah.
Why? He's an idiot. He's been
smooth and he doesn't make verbal mistakes.
He's not. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't gaffe. He's a fucking idiot.
He answered the question. He was said to a group of donors, that is to say, rich people. He said, if he were president, things won't fundamentally change.
Yeah,
so that's why they want him. He won't be, separating families at the border, perhaps, but a friend of mine put it, he's white supremacy light, and he's not a Republican. And so they think they can win with him. I don't think so. You need someone who, you have to show there's a difference. What is the difference between Trump and the Democratic nominee? Trump passed the biggest tax cut for rich people in history. This was their dream and fantasy come true.
Mm-hmm.
A Democratic candidate should say, I'm going to undo that. But if you say things aren't going to fundamentally change, obviously that's not it. You need someone who's going to build excitement and bring in new people. Those 80,000 votes that Hillary Clinton, threw away with their own hubris.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's actually not a lot of more people that you need to get in, but you have to have someone who's going to bring people out. And that means you speak to the needs that people have. Mm. And Biden doesn't do that.
No,
I don't know
at all.
Who he's speaking to at this point. I mean, other than powerful, rich white men, I don't know who he's talking to.
He's so out of touch.
And he's at 50%. And he's at 50%.
All the money behind him, and you know, that's that's where he is.
It's crazy.
And Trump, every time they attack him, goes up in the polls.
Mm.
He's his poll numbers have risen since the impeachment was first discussed. So they, you know, Democrats are they're doing it all wrong. Unless, of course, they want to see Trump reelected.
Well,
I wonder, except for, you know, like you said, what was it, racist or white supremacist light. So we have overt racist or covert racist. And
I put Joe Biden in
that.
The over. I don't give him even the
light. Yeah,
you're
right.
Just
you're
as racist as any other. I mean,
he just doesn't think he is being racist.
Yeah, you're right.
No,
yeah,
the stuff that comes out of his dumb head is unbelievable sometimes. And it's. And what you're doing, and it's Hillary Clinton all over again. It's a guy that will not energize young voters, that's stuck in the past, that's trying to play this middle of the road, fake progressive, but loyal to. It's the same damn, they didn't learn anything at all. Not
they
one
don't want to learn. They don't want to learn. That's, that's my takeaway.
Yeah, they're hoping to thread that needle and get away with somebody who isn't any different.
Mm-hmm.
But who speaks to some of their constituencies. So that's their hope, to not do anything really different, but manage to win anyhow.
I have a scary, scary scenario. And I think, you know, and we're Greens again. You know, I'd love to see Howie Hawkins or a Green Party candidate win a presidency. I know that's not probably in the realm of realistic possibility, but if you're talking from a Democratic Party perspective, here's the scary situation that a comrade laid out to me that is probably the truth. You got Mayor Pete, who looks like he's 14 years old in camouflage. You got this idiot Biden. And then you've got Elizabeth Warren, who's, she's racist light. I'll give her racist light.
Okay.
So what you do is you just have Biden, you have Bernie ain't going nowhere. You just have Mayor Pete or Elizabeth stay in the race, split the progressives. Biden gets the nomination. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they wanted so many people in. They also wanted somebody, they weren't sure who could defeat Bernie. So they tried Kamala Harris. She's a flop. She's out. Beto O'Rourke. He's a flop. He's out. Then you have, you know, a couple people still hanging on. And I think they're splitting votes from each other, Buttigieg and Warren. Elizabeth Warren, by the way, I ever since I found this out, I never stopped repeating it. She was a Republican until she was 47 years old.
Yep. That's not like a youthful mistake. That's 47.
And so.
So who was in office when she was 47?
What's that?
So who was in office when she was 47?
Well, it's like
what, about 73 now?
So that's like late 90s. So like Clinton.
Clinton. Yeah. She's a Clinton.
So she's neoliberal
from birth. A capitalist to her bones, as she said.
Capitalist to her bones. That's it. Yeah. And I think she started off with a bang because of her rhetoric against the banks. You know, her rhetoric against the banks is really good. And it was timely, and it was a little bit cutting edge. At the time she was doing it, Bernie wasn't as popular. I think these social movement culture that you see now wasn't as prevalent, so she was good. But as time went on, it kind of this veneer kind of washed away, you know.
Well, you know, Bernie tried to encourage her to run against Hillary in 2016.
She played the safe. She played the long game safe.
So anyway, I don't know if Bernie knew she'd been a Republican nearly her whole life.
Wow. Yeah.
God, the Democratic Party's gonna be a mess, and I guess I just pray for something big to happen between now and 2020. We did want to talk about activist goals. We're talking about too much electoral stuff. We are getting into that.
What's your
activist goals?
We're supposed to talk about activist recap of
19 and activist goals for 2020. We have 7 minutes.
because what we have is activism, because we are probably going to be stuck with a shit show next year. So I guess we'll just throw out some of our favorite highlights in 2019. So I'm going to jump in and go first. So, and this is where we talk about direct action gets the goods, how it really, really works. In New Jersey, we had our comrades with Wind of the Spirit and Cosecha, and they did multiple actions, multiple direct actions. There was the shutdown of McCarter Highway, Route 21 in Newark. There was, they did a direct action at Assemblyman Coughlin's
office. Yep, they blocked the doors.
And this was about demanding driver's licenses for all. I believe the immigrants' rights community was trying to get this type of legislation passed for about 16 years.
Yeah.
And they just went at this full throttle beautifully. And in December, we have driver's licenses for all. It was beautiful. I love our comrades with Winds of the Spirit and Cosecha. Yeah. So that's my shout out. Can I do another one quick too?
It's your show.
It's our show.
It's our show.
And this is, I was involved with this one. I supported Cosecha and went to their actions and was a supportive role, but I wasn't an immediate organizer. But I know Tom Bryan and myself were directly involved with Extinction Rebellion, New Jersey's premier action at the end of August at the Video Music Awards in downtown Newark at the beautiful Prudential Center. I don't know if it's beautiful. I've never been in it.
it is a very nice building. I've seen a hockey game at it. It is nice.
So we were there with other wonderful grassroots organizations that are radical and real lefty, like the New African Black Panther Party. The other immediate organizer of the action was the Newark Water Coalition. And basically, we were doing the direct action to get media attention, to get news attention, because the our neighbors in Newark have been suffering with lead in their water for, that we know of, over 2 years. And lip service with the local, county, state, and federal governments.
This went all the way back to Booker when he was mayor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now they're seeing
and
the pieces.
Before,
Lord knows. You know. Lord knows.
The Green Party was there, too, on that day.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm a Green, and I left them out. But, yeah, I'm just going to throw out, again, direct action gets the goods, because we saw even before our action, because they were being threatened and knew about our action, county government started to turn some wheels. Then we even had Booker, I believe, a few days after Senator Booker.
Bernie is talking about federal water standards.
Yep. And our brave activists, including Brian and Tom, it was a rough arrests. And you guys really handled it. And if it wasn't for doing something as dramatic as that, we'd have children in Newark still drinking lead water. And we can't thank you guys enough for your bravery. You knew the police were, you knew it was going to be intense.
Yeah,
and
you see a bunch
stood
of
up to that anyway.
Standing around, it did seem
we had FBI. We had it was.
Wow.
It was
they were primed up.
So, and you knew that, and you took that risk anyway. So I want to, I can't applaud you guys enough for taking that.
I'm just tickled pink that it has made a difference, and
we're protecting
lead
young children's
are getting changed.
Brains. Yeah.
And there's a strong local organization, the Newark Water Coalition.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful comrades.
On top of this, I believe, and.
Well, that's the kind of thing I was talking about when I said what Greens need to do to be, for Greens to be seen as fighting for it. I mean, what's more basic than the right to clean, safe drinking water? And that's the sort of thing that Greens need to do around the country. So I applaud you guys and everyone else who was a part of that effort.
That was part of all our highlights, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I stole that from you guys.
Okay.
Sorry.
That Tom's, I can see Tom go, as soon as you start talking about Tom went.
But I had to just, you know, I can't thank you guys enough. I can't.
I flipped off a cop too. Does that count?
Yes.
Power to the people. Yes, it counts.
So sorry if I took your highlights.
No, I want to hear Tom's high. Tom, I want to see Tom come up with another one.
Oh, you won't miss
he's
come
got
up.
A ton of them. He's got a ton.
Well, you know what? This wasn't in New Jersey per se, so maybe Brian's not going to accept this one.
No, I accept
but
it.
The Embassy Coalition.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Because
huge
we
shout
represented
out.
Between mm-hmm. myself, Diane, I believe Madeline live streamed, and I'm probably missing
Madeline
other folks
Hoffman.
Who are right there. In DC, live streaming this, bringing it out to the people in New Jersey and other parts of the country as well. I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way, Diane and mm-hmm. Margaret and Brian, that this was the place to be in April, March, and April. This was where the fight was, and it still is.
Yeah, and, it's ongoing.
Maybe we can give a quick plug on that. There's going to be a East Coast tour of the Embassy. Protector Collective, because they're still raising money too, because they are mounting a legal defense, and you know that the Trump administration is going to go at them with everything they have because they made them look stupid.
Yeah,
and they finally pulled the plug when Jesse Jackson showed up, and they realized that this was really starting to get ugly, and it wasn't going away. So then they kicked in the doors, and you know did what they did. But I was very proud of that, and I it showed that we could satellite from New Jersey.
Yep,
and the power of what you've created here, Brian, others really has a lot of reach, and we can all be brothers up and down the Eastern Coast too, and around the country. So I think you've said a really good
and I want to give the website out because this is ongoing and they're fundraising, and like Tom said, we're going to have hopefully a fundraiser for the Embassy Protectors Collective in Princeton Sunday, January 9th. And it's downtown Princeton. It's in a lovely area, so we'll be doing some carpooling, I'm sure.
Easy by train.
Yeah. And it's I think this is the correct website. I'm sorry if Brian wants to check it out too. defendembassyprotectors.org. So all of our viewers, please go to defendembassyprotectors.org. I love how this is unfolding because, you know, where's Guaido? It's like, where's Waldo? You know, how are they going to, I hope we can, you know, find out from Margaret and Kevin and maybe bring them on the show again soon, find out where legally this battle is at, because, you know, they need to, you know, from what we understand is that this, embassy protection collective was invited in by the Venezuelan government
to be the keys.
So are they going to say that Guaido and his fake ambassador were the ones with the authority? Are they, you know, I don't know. Are they going to be compelled to come and testify about how they're not the Venezuelan government? Yeah. It's just going to be.
Should be a show. Maybe we can get down and cover it as New Jersey Revolution.
Yeah.
We find out what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So considering where they're at now, that's going to be really interesting. Yeah.
So, and Margaret, I think Margaret's got it. Margaret Pop Dog. Hey, Margaret, highlight of 2019, activist stuff, no electoral nonsense. We're done with that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, here in New York, we also have driver's licenses for all. Mm. So regardless of legal status, New York State residents can get driver's licenses or non-driver ID. We also had a huge victories where our rent stabilization laws were restored. Starting when Pataki was governor, they watered them down. There was, they called it vacancy decontrol at a certain point. So affordable apartments were being lost.
Mm.
And a lot of people of not just Greens, but many others were involved in this effort and involved in organizing effort to get some Democrats out of office who were caucusing with Republicans. Now we have another effort in New York. They're trying to make it harder for parties to be on the ballot. And so that's something we've got to fight in 2020. This is happening all over the country. It's a result of the propaganda blaming the Greens for Hillary Clinton's defeat. I'm of two minds about it. I don't think it's true that Greens cost her the election, but we're not supposed to care about the Democrats. We're building our own party. It's their responsibility to win their elections. Absolutely. And we should not apologize one bit for building our party. But they're increasing the threshold, the number of votes that a party needs to be on the ballot. And there's and I'm afraid I don't offhand know the numbers, but it's going to be harder for Greens to be on the ballot in the state of New York. So that is something that I'm interested in focusing on and working on in this upcoming year.
You also got ranked choice voting.
We have it in New York City. Yes, thank you for reminding. In New York City, in primaries only, we have ranked choice voting. Yeah, it is. It is a start. And you know, we're always told we have a democracy, and it's like, no, we don't. So there are ways to make a small d democracy in the country, and ranked choice voting is one of the ways to do that.
Yeah, that's a big agenda item for New Jersey Green Party, and in particular Craig Caetano, one of our co-chairs, and there's a little bit going on in Trenton on it, not a lot, but that's something we really want to get behind, because that's a big opportunity for the Greens too, because in New Jersey, running for local election, it's so locked down. We could have a whole show on that, but
difficult. How do we wind up here?
We were talking about activist moments.
We gave everybody 50 minutes of elections. I wanted five of activism.
We did, though. We tied it together.
That is the rank.
Yeah.
I got to wrap it up. We are getting short on time here, okay. But I will say, basically, I mean, 2019 was, you know, and for you too, a tough personal year for careers and stuff like that. I got canned at the beginning of the year. I got my job back recently, thanks to being a union member. I'll talk more about that in the future. I got to get everything legal. You know, lawyers are still telling me to shut up. But yes. From a personal year, it was trying, but obviously the highlight is right here, New Jersey Revolution Radio. A year ago, you were sitting down here. We didn't have heat. We didn't have sound phones. Mm-hmm. I don't know I think we were sharing a microphone and we didn't have a soundboard. Mm-hmm. And we've got a studio now.
Yeah.
We've produced thousands of pieces of content, from 2-minute video clips to full length programs. We're talking about doing some documentary work, and you know, we've brought in people. We're able to give a little money to people to get around to the state now because of our contributors. And thank you if you've donated. But you know, clearly the highlight of a very rough personal year was the growth of New Jersey Revolution Radio.
And
everybody that's been involved with it. It wasn't just me and Heather, although, you know, we did, you know, I'll take credit for founding it and finding that great business partner early on. Mm-hmm. But it's Diane and Tom and the New African Black Panther Party and the Greens and everybody that got along and contributed, because those 1,000 pieces of content are really like 1,000 people doing something. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of that. And in 2020, looking forward, before we end the show and I go around the room, so I'd like to hear 2020's going forward from everybody too, is a couple of things. Is of course to continue to build New Jersey Revolution Radio and get a sound, solid structure. Our comrade Ajamu Baraka is always talking about how we need organization, we need structure, we need revolutionary establishments. The establishment has its establishment. We need our own, and I hope that New Jersey Revolution Radio can become a bigger part of that in 2020. And now I'm going to play some music because that makes Diane rush the way out because we got to go to bed.
Oh.
But we want to hear more from them as I play. It's a long song. Okay. I got 6 minutes of music.
Okay, so goals for 2020.
You have
Tom,
to wrap it, too.
Go for it. What?
Oh. A goal for 2020. Now, kind of what Brian said, you have to have people, you have to have structure. And I think the people are going to come, because I think we're doing what we need to do. We've only touched the tip of the iceberg, Margaret, on the type of things that New Jersey Green Party and the other organizations, us folks in the party are involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's there. I think people can plug into us. It's really having the organization. We have dedicated professional people, but them really say, oh yeah, this is where I want to be. I'm done with this Democrat who says he's progressive, who says he's going to get something done. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm interested in, is really building our capacity, because we're the best kept secret in New Jersey.
Mm. Yeah. So we got to get the word out. Yeah.
So I'm really hopeful about that.
Good. And Margaret, what are your goals for 2020? Activism, politics.
Sell the book.
Oh yes.
And quit my day job. Nah, yes. Sorry.
About 19 months from now, I can probably retire. Knock wood. But I want to continue to be a part of organizing efforts. You mentioned Ajamu Baraka, the national organizer of Black Alliance for Peace, which I am on the coordinating committee of. We've got to organize around issues locally, and we need to build, you know, cadres, if you will, and so that we can really make good on all the issues that are important to us. So I think we need political education. I'll admit that. Mm-hmm. So that I can be more effective. So I need to learn more, and to be part of it. You know, it's sometimes difficult because of what I do. Writing is a solitary process. Mm-hmm. So I want to be more involved with other people. So that could be a variety of things, but I want to be part of an organizing structure and have, so next year, next January 1st, when we get together, I can talk about an organizing success that I've been a part of.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, for me, it was, I would say, a plan for building left unity. I know we've talked about it before, but I think this is the year we're going to have to do it, is have a left unity conference, maybe after the DNC does their dirty dirt that they usually do. Have a place for people to go and vent, a little bit of therapy, but then get to work.
No place better than the great nation of New Jersey.
Yep.
I will tell you that. Margaret Kimberly's book, Prejudicial.
Prejudicial.
Black America.
I thought you nailed it.
It'll be out February 4th. So get
pre-order now.
Pre-order now.
Yep.
Check out Black Agenda Report wherever you get your podcasts. Absolutely. And news. The podcasts are really what I'm getting to, but they do blogs. I'm not lying. It's the best reporting in this country. If you're not paying attention, you're not getting the truth. You're just
real
not.
News.
You really are.
To get that's
everything
the real
from
news.
Margaret.
That's it. Get it from Margaret. Well, I see you in Detroit this year.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will see Margaret again in Detroit this year, and I can't wait to see you next week. New Jersey Revolution Radio Live comes at you every Wednesday at 8 p.m. We really need contributions. We didn't make our fundraising goal, but you see the commitment we have. Yep. We show up even when we don't make it, but that's not going to last forever.
And bring you wonderful guests.
We do. It really is Margaret. Margaret brought us here today, but your contributions also help bring us here today. So if you get a minute, any amount of money, a little bit, a lot of money, it really does make a big difference. Thanks a lot for those that have, and if you haven't, take a few clicks to New Jersey Revolution Radio, njrevolutionradio.com, /donate, make a donation. But until next week, this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind all of you that it's 2020, and the police can still quit their jobs.
Yep, and this is Diane Moxley wishing you all a very happy new year. And even though it's a little bit cold out there, we have work to do. So I'll see you in the streets.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so
good
much.
Good seeing you, Margaret.
Bye-bye.